We have too much to do. Too much is at stake. We ain't gonna give him no credit. We ain't gonna give him no glory either. He ain't busy. We busy. I'm gonna tell you something though. The devil can't hit a moving target. He can only hit you when you stay still. There's a movie I enjoy watching. It puts me in a prophetic movie though, in a sense, because in this movie, this tribe land was raided by another nation. And so typically when a nation wants to raid another territory, it's because they want slaves. And they want to capture, take advantage of the women, use the male child as slavery, and do whatever they want to do. But it was one man who escaped somehow, some way. And these people got so tired of this man, because he exhausted their strength. They had no intentions of coming to chase somebody. They was coming to raid. And so this man, he began to run throughout the whole course of the movie. And so the game came to a place. They finally caught up with him, but there was a part of the movie where the people had to kind of run. Because what they were going to do, they were going to use darts, these long nail darts, to target them. They was launching some things. And so whoever got caught, that it was like a sport to them. They were killed. That was it. That was their demise. And so one guy told the other guy, he said, here's the trick of it. He said, don't run straight. Run diagonal. Because therefore, they can't target you. God Almighty, I want to. And so the man began to go this way and that way and this way. They kept missing. So much so, he got away from their land. So at that point, he escaped. Those people were so fired up. How did you let this man get away? That's the same way the enemy is looking at us. How in the world they let him get out? Because the enemy had already sentenced you. He already had you. He already put in his mind that he already set you up for your demise. But you had the audacity to get saved. You had the audacity to give your life to Jesus. And you had the audacity to get baptized. You had the audacity to be filled with his presence. And so the devil, he's mad with you. He is angry, so he's going to come in some form of what you love the most. And it was 1 Peter. He says, cast all your cares upon me, for the Lord care for you. Oh, God Almighty, he cares for you. He cares for you so deeply. And watch this. There's nothing that catch God off guard. He got eyes behind his head. He saw it coming. And so he allowed it, but watch this. He's not going to keep you there. Yes, sir. Watch this. God is awesome. And man, let me tell you something, man. This man kept saying, this prophet, I believe, you know, they pretty much put this man as a prophet in the movie. And he told them, he said, ain't none of y'all going to kill me. Y'all all going to die before I die. These people were so adamant. It was one scene where it looked like it was the Canadian River. It was the Niagara Falls. The man dipped down. There was no way in the world he can escape that. But he get down there. The people say he ain't gonna last. They saw him swimming. He started waving his hand. To me, that's a form of praise. Yes, I'm waving my hand because I'm praising what I came from. Yes, I'm praising because I should have been dead a long time ago. And in this position, the man that was in, he shouldn't have lived this state, but he still kept waving his hands. He was letting the enemy know, you couldn't kill me if you tried. And so the captain of that nation, he got so tired. He said, I'm not going down. I'm sending my men. Go down. And they looking at him like, are you crazy? chances are me going down in this situation, I'm not going to live. He pushed the man down there. The one man he pushed down there, the man hit his head on the rock. He didn't live. Second one, he didn't live. Third one, he sent down there. He didn't live. So it was like they were dying slowly but shortly. Man, let me tell you something. When you just lift your hands up to the Lord and you waving, when you don't really got nothing to wave for, probably you thinking that. You're thinking, I don't really have nothing to wave for, but I'm just going to wave anyway. I'm letting the devil know that my hand's still living. Even if my mouth don't feel like praising them, because sometimes I don't have the expression, I don't have the words, but my hands work fine. Oh yeah, you know, my hands work perfectly fine. Oh yeah, my hands ain't stale. Oh no, I'm not paralegic. I'm not paralyzed. My hands work perfectly fine, devil. And I'm letting you know I'm waving my hands, letting you know that you can't kill me if you try. The Lord just said, he said, as if you in my hands, no devil in hell can pluck you out. Wave your hands in the air. And watch this. In the old days, we used to wave them like we just don't care. You remember those days when we get to partying? We wave them like we just don't care. And you know what? And we just scream, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Just use some of your old tenacity about you. There's everything God didn't want to strip from you. He says, just go ahead and transform over to the other side and just wave your hands like you just don't care. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm waving my hands like I just don't care. I know there's a lot going on in our life, but I'm going to wave my hands like I just don't care. Because sometimes I just don't have the words to say because my mouth is shut tight. And I can't get the words to just express over my tongue. There's no words that can get me in a place, but I can wave my hands. That'll get a good start. Get me enough to muscle up a little strength. Then I'll just go from there. Oh, what I'm doing, I'm just exercising. Somebody be like, what's wrong with you? Who are you waving to? I'm just exercising. But if you want to get a little bit about yourself, I'm praising God. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of the resurrection. God Almighty, man, when you get the audacity that you decided that you're going to trade in your old life for new life, you know the devil ain't going to play fair. Because you become valuable to God. God, devil said, man, I had him. He was one of my worst. Now he's gonna be one of my worst nightmares. Black and blue him all up. Let him know that you in this to win this. You can't break my spine. Watch this. There was a song that said, you can't hold me down. Oh no. Watch this. I got to keep it moving. Just keep moving diagonally, however you feel fit. Just keep moving. He can't hit a moving target. That's what I'm trying to say to you. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you, Lord, have mercy. You're not by yourself. You got a camp, you got an army all around you. Oh man, Elisha was in trouble. He had a servant with him, and he said, Lord, do you see all the people that are coming against us? And he said, just open my servant's eyes so he can see what I see. See, Elisha said, I already see the victory, but my servant don't see it. Open his eyes so he can see the victory. Because the enemy was out there trying to get all of them. He said, don't worry about them. We good. It's more for us than what's against us. And if God be for you, watch this. Who? Tell me who. I don't know who. Tell me who. Who can be against me? And if I got favor with God, check this. I like the second one. I got favor with man. Hallelujah. Man, I love this right here. Get my spirit charged. You thought you was going to seatbelt me today. You thought you was going to put me in a trap. I already came from slavery. I ain't going back.
Amen.
I ain't going back. We ain't going back. We moving ahead. Fast forward. I ain't playing this tape again. We are moving ahead. Hallelujah. I know it. God got this. He got it. Tell your neighbor, God got it.
I got
He got it.
it. I got it.
He got it.
Yes, sir. Yes, he does.
He got it, man. He got it. Remember the illustration when I gave you? The earth is moving, but you don't even know it. You sitting in the orbit that's spinning, but you don't even know it's spinning. That's the way the Lord is moving, because you don't know he's moving. You are living in the organization. You living in the organism, alive. Oh, God ain't dead. He went back to glory, sitting on the right side of the Father. What he's doing? He's telling the Father, "You know what I did for them. You can't do this." He showed the Father the nail prints. I'm reminding you, Father, I died for this. Come on now.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you.
Too much at stake.
Yes, Lord.
There was a gamble over his role. Who's gonna get it? They split it in two. And the veil was ripped. Because there was a period of time in the Old Testament you couldn't go behind the veil. God would kill you because of the sin. So the only people who was allowed was the priests. He had to go before the people to make sure that he could present whatever lamb or living sacrifice before God. And if they didn't hear the priest, they knew something was wrong, because that means he wasn't right. So what they had to do with that priest who wasn't right, they had to drag him out with bells. But we are a living sacrifice, a holy generation, a royal priesthood. You a chosen generation. I just came to encourage somebody else, get you all pumped up. You know what we gotta prepare. Calls got to be played. Man, you're not by yourself. You got four people on the side, and we got people on the bench waiting. Just in case you're getting exhausted. The coaches said, "Come on, sit down, mom, drink this water. We're gonna make up these points. We're gonna make up the difference. Just don't worry about the first and second quarter, because it's the fourth quarter which matters." We're gonna win this battle. In fact, watch this. It's already been won. It's already been fought. The price already been paid. And Jesus already paid the full price. He already paid it. What we're doing financing is by walking with him.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I ain't think about no, I ain't studying that devil. He ain't got nothing on you. Shucks, man. He ain't got nothing on me either, man, because we still moving. We're a moving target. But if you stay still, you in trouble. Just don't stay still. That's what you don't do. Don't lay main like he you surrender. I'm not surrendering to you. You already lost, devil. Jesus already said he got up on the third day. He says, "I got all power in my hands." What is that saying? If you in him, you got power too. You are his offspring. You are the extension. Jesus says, "I can't come back and do what I want to do, but I'm gonna use you to do it. Finish the fight." It's a good fight. God Almighty. The baton already been passed. I already went to glory. I'm sitting on the right side just like this. Making intercession. That's all I'm doing. I'm just making intercession for the saints. The Father has to honor that. He has to honor that. He has to honor it. I come in the Father, I come in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hey man, you want to get your pastor started, man. I don't like when the devil picks, man. He just pick and he pick, but he's allowed to do so. He's allowed to pick. He's allowed to pick with people we love. He's allowed to do certain things in the flesh, but he can't touch your spirit. That's one thing he cannot get. He can't get a hold of. Don't let him pierce that. Man, you block that. This is a barrier. Devil, I'm drawing a bloodline. The Lord rebuke you. I'm going to talk up. I'm going to let you know. You're going to hear my voice today. Shucks, man. Oh, man, I'm not a defeated foe. Hallelujah. I walk with the Ancient of Days. God done this. He's been here before. He wore the t-shirt and backwards. He already done it. Ain't nothing new under the sun. In fact, you're going to deal with some more things. I told you months ago, oh man, you're going to deal with some things, but give it God a year. You're going to see a turnaround, man. You're going to see a turnaround. I hope you can get that prophetic word when I said this to you months ago. You're going to deal with some of these things. This ain't nothing new. You just go back in your journey. You journal that. I said, remember this day. Because by time next year, this set time, it ain't going to be the same. Yeah. So what happens is when you deal with certain things like this, it's just called growing pains. No pain, no gain. I don't know, man. I'm getting a little few secular with this music here, but it's helpful for today. No pain, no gain. You gaining something through the pain. Because when you come out of the pain, you ain't gonna forget what it was like. It's like the woman, right after she had that child, it hurts when she's birthing. But when that baby come out, they don't remember the pain no more. It's now gain. You're gonna reap your harvest. Hallelujah, man. I know somebody needed this word. It ain't just one, two, three. You'd be surprised how many people need encouragement. Because a lot of times we don't know, we don't really want to be truthful of certain things that we deal with because we're ashamed. Right? Let's be honest, we're ashamed of certain things we deal with. And I understand that because you try to keep it to the heart because people start looking at you a certain way. You dealing with that? Oh, you judging me? Watch this. What God's going to do is when you try to judge me based on what I'm dealing with, God says, I'm going to put that same temptation on you. And let me see how you deal with that. But you can't lose a battle that's already been fought. Can't. It's impossible. Hallelujah. Let's go to Jeremiah. I'm going to get beside myself today. Yeah. Was wondering before I started the service, and I heard the scripture, I heard the Lord says, cast your cares upon me. I thought it was me. Of course, I got some cares. But he's telling me, cast it. It's the same way when you cast the net. Cast it, because you're going fishing. Cast your cares upon me, for he says, I care for you. The Lord says, I understand. Cast it. But it wasn't just for me. So, in other words, he gave me something already pre-season. So by the time season come, you can release that word with the hopes of people receiving it. Because sometimes, I'm gonna be honest, when you're dealing with a lot of certain things, you know, even God sometimes have a hard time getting the word through to you because you're so distracted with cares of the world, things we got to deal with, things you can't control. Things we encounter, people we encounter, situations we encounter, bills that's hard to get paid, relationships is up and down. Situations ain't right, quite right, you know? And so things just kind of go up and down. And so even the word of the Lord, sometimes he have a hard time speaking to you, and because it's hard to receive it when your judgment is clouded. And it makes sense because so much stuff is just being thrown at us. And it's sometimes it's not even an isolated event. Sometimes it's just compound of things just rolling up on you. And you be like, I can't take it no more. And so even the word of the Lord can't get through to you. And so that's why he put you in a familiar community that has the word of the Lord in them. So when the word of the Lord goes forth, it breaks some stuff. God Almighty. Let's go, Jeremiah. You're gonna get me ahead of this word already. I feel like I'm already in it. The words of Jeremiah, first chapter. I'll give you some time to get there. If you haven't got there, I'll give you some chance. Tell me if you have it. You have your thumbs up. You have your Bibles. You got your technology. You got your iPads. Jeremiah chapter 1. It's right out of the book of Isaiah. Can we flow now? Amen. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests who were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. And it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the carrying away of Jerusalem, captive in the fifth month. Fourth verse. Then the word of the Lord came. God just had to kind of build a stage. See, let's just use 1 through 3 of obstacles. Number of events taking place in our lives. I know what the story says, but let's transform this story to the number of events that's building against us. Things that's piling up. And the more you let it pile up, the harder it's to clean, the more time it takes. But then verse 4 comes and says, then the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord comes when stuff is already at its height. I believe sometimes God allows certain things to pile up so he can raise the standard. He'll let it go up as high as it can go, as far as you can even think of. He'll let it pile up, like when bills come up. Somebody just go ahead and let it pile up. Then the word of the Lord will come. And so when the word of the Lord comes, it comes to ease certain things. Even if he don't deliver you right now, it'll give you a peace that you can get through this. That is not over till God says it's over. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, talking about Jeremiah, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said unto me, do not say, I'm a youth. Now, here's the thing about Jeremiah. That was his excuse. What is yours? Because anytime the Lord comes with a word, or anytime he approaches you, or anytime he initiate the contact, excuses is just going to be made, which you cannot do. Jeremiah decided that it was his youth that was the obstacle. Some of us will say it's our family tree that's an obstacle. You know where I come from. You know what parents I've come from. You know the situation. You know what I don't have. You know what I do have. You know what I've been going through. And all the excuses come up in the world of why you can't. But the one thing the Lord told Jeremiah, don't say I cannot. Because God don't, he don't relate to that kind of language. He don't relate to language that's opposing what he's about to do. Every person that I can think of had every excuse that they can think of why they felt that they wasn't privileged to be called for the glory of God. Moses, I'm not eloquent in speech enough. I have a speech impediment. You can't call me. Well, who made mouth, Moses? Who made your mouth? Noah, I need you to build me an ark, a new cruise, carnival ship. Yeah. I'm drunk, God. There's no way I can build being this way. Don't say you drunk. Because God can use that liquor and turn it around to Holy Spirit. Don't say what you cannot do. Yes. Jeremiah, say what you can do. Because one of the things that God was telling Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I'm just paraphrasing it, I knew you. Before your parents' sweat glands intertangled, I knew you. You got to understand what he's saying here. In other words, we're worried before we came in our mother's womb that he decided that he was going to set us apart long time ago, before the foundations was laid. In other words, he said, Jeremiah, I don't need you to use no excuses, because what I placed in you, I already know what I gave you. Now, Jeremiah had a good excuse to a certain degree. He was a young man speaking to adults. And years ago, they used to tell us, don't talk to adults like that. Not when it comes to the word of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to me. If the word of the Lord comes to you, it doesn't matter how old you are. if you an adult, if somebody's an adult and they can't receive in you, that's going to be their problem, not yours. But he told Jeremiah, he said, don't even worry about their faces. Don't be intimidated about their faces, how they're going to frown, how they're going to receive you. You just do what I'm asking you to do and do not say what I told you not to say. Then he said, ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak. We had a few of them that said that. I'm a youth. I'm young, immature. I can't go speaking to adults. Mama raised me right. But God does the raising. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and wherever I command you, you shall speak. Watch this verse 8 says, do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. What the Lord did with his mouth? He said, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. Look at verse 1 real quickly. He said, the words of Jeremiah, meaning it's a continuation. God is not trying to use you as one isolated event. He wants to use you for a lifestyle. Verse 8, verse 9 says, then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and said to me, behold, I put my words, plural, in your mouth. See, I have set this day. I've set this day, set you over the nations, over kingdoms, to root out, which means something that's been established, to pull down things that's already been implemented, to a system that's already been orchestrated, to destroy, to make sure that it don't come back again, and to throw down. Now, we can't plant unless we do all the other things first. We can't plant anything until other stuff get thrown down, pulled up. Because what's happened is root systems are in place. A system is in place. So what God is going to do, he's going to use you to do the opposite. It seems to be very difficult because you're going against a system that's been established for years. And so just like the Justice Department, it's just wrong, all set up for years. But somebody's got to be able to tear down one layer at a time. It's not going to be done overnight. We got to put people in position and people in place. So when they can, God is raising up people right now to tear down these kind of things, these strongholds that's been in our family, these generations that we have, these curses. There's been some strongholds that have been handed down through inheritance for some odd reason. And so God is raising up a person or people like you to go down and root up, to throw down, to cancel, to destroy, and then plant. Oh, I'm talking to somebody here. And so what the bottom line is that initially the people won't receive it because they already had their mind made up. We know we're in voting season. People's mind already made up. You can't persuade them on which way they're going to do. Their mind is already up. They already got a system in their mind. It's already in place. But I'm going to raise up somebody who's going to throw down layer by layer. I'm going to do it layer by layer. But I'm going to use somebody that they don't think they are qualified to be used based on family history. You know what my mama did. You know what she was out there doing. God, you want to use me? You know what daddy did. He was a rolling stone. Man, you know what they was doing and you want to use me? Yes, absolutely. Do not say you was a bastard child because you mine. Oh, man, I'm going to go ahead and get free here. Do not say you got mental health. Oh, yeah, because that's what they labeled you. But just don't say that out of your mouth. Because I didn't tell you that's what you had. So what am I saying? I sanctified you in your mother's womb and I gave you mental health in the process? I gave you an addiction in the process? Who told you that? Who framed your mind? He said in Jeremiah, before I formed you. Look, before, meaning you haven't even been thought about. The egg wasn't even put in place before all of that. I formed you. And then he says, in the womb, I knew you, which means I was intimately acquainted with you. God don't make no mistake. He know what he put in you. You are treasure in earthen vessels. There's no mistake in you. There's no errors in you. There's no commas. It's a period. When God puts a period, you can't continue on that conversation. You can't. I don't care what they told you, what they told your mama, what they told your daddy, the issues that you would occur. And it so happened that your parents believed it, so they received it. So typically, God, when he approaches, when God want to use people, sometimes he'll go to the mother and father and tell them, I'm setting your child apart before the mother come, or before the mother have, before the mother births it. But this time, he went right to Jeremiah. Maybe he went to Jeremiah because the parents wasn't listening. I don't know. Maybe he had to go directly to Jeremiah. He didn't want to tell Jeremiah's parents what he wanted to do with Jeremiah. He said, I got to tell Jeremiah myself. Got somebody get ready to get free there. Somebody get ready to get loaded. Somebody already getting blessed right now. Just I haven't even begun to get started. But the word of the Lord came to me after all the pressures that was mounted up against me. The stage was set, but then the word of the Lord came at the right time, at the appointed time. And I believe Isaiah 55 and 10 says, my word, when it goes forth out of my mouth, it shall not return void unto me. And wherever I send that word, that's where it shall be. Let me tell you something. God is not in the business to receive a package after he sent it out. He's not in the business. If he sends out a word, he meant that it's going to be at that word. I thank God there's some carriers that would give you a time frame when you expect that package. Yeah. Watch this. God said, I can't send an item without the coverings to the address because it won't make it there. I have to send a package to go with the item because that is the covering. What I'm trying to tell you is that the word of the Lord is in you. You're just a package he's sending. And he don't believe return unto sender. It shall accomplish that what he has sent it out to do. If God said it, best to believe he's going to do it. God is not going to prolong what he's about to do next. If God made you a promise, if God revealed to you, you got to take that to the bank. And when it's time to withdraw, God going to make it good. It's delayed. That's what. That's okay. Because if it's delayed, that means he's going to make it good. That means he's going to make it good. Because when it's delayed, sometimes, you know, when it's delayed, it's almost like it's not going to happen. It almost becomes far-fetched. Oh, but he made a promise to me 10 years ago. It hasn't happened yet. Keep living. But I, one thing, I'm going to tell you something, though. You can't die until that promise gets fulfilled. Shucks, man. Oh, man, I tell you, I just said a mouthful right there. Yeah. I mean, and watch this, though. Here's the thing. Somebody got a promise 10 years ago, and then they occurred sickness 5 years later. The 5 years later was their sickness was unto death. But if God made me a promise 5 years prior, before he formed me, oh, yeah, watch this. Before the sickness came into play, the word was there. Shucks, man. Oh, man. Oh, yeah. You started me. See, I don't like when the devil mess with my sheep. Man, I get riled up because now he got to pay this price. The devil is running right now saying, what did we do? We pick, go to the next address, another church that they don't believe God. Go to that church where they commit adultery, sleep around, lay around, gamble, falsify. Go to that church because that's the church that's going to play around. But over here, we believe holy. Holy. That's why we believe. We believe holiness over here at DCM. We believe an unadulterated word. Before he formed me, he knew me. He knew me. He knew me before I came in 1974. He knew me. He knew me. He knew what I was going to go through at the age of 3. He knew me before he formed me. He says, what you going through, I put more in you than what's against you. Oh, you think I'm just talking to the pastor? I'm talking to you. And so God made you a promise some years ago, howbeit through a dream, and the other things started to occur. Like the promise can't be fulfilled. And so when these things occur, you just felt like the promise is null and void. But when my word go forth, the spoken word, the rhema word, the written word, out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me, no return to sender. Here, but here's what I'm going to do. Download this gospel app. You're going to see the package delivered at this specific time. All I need you to do is be there to receive it. See, what happens is sometimes when God make a promise to some people, they just not where they need to be to receive it. So what happens is when a package gets delivered, it ends up at somebody else's house waiting for a pickup. Because you weren't there to receive it. Somebody got to be the recipient on the delivered package. I got a UPS driver here. He understands. Yeah. You got an app for a reason. I think there's another giant app, but I'm not going to give them any credit. But you can see exactly where your package is. And if it's going another direction, it'll tell you it's delayed, but it's coming. Some of your promises got delayed, so you got disheartened. But, oh, man, it's going to come a time when that package is going to show up. Man, God says, did you forget what I told you? My promise is not null and void. It shall accomplish that which I, the Jeremiah, do not say what you cannot, what you don't. I don't want you to say the opposite. Don't tell me you're a youth. I know how old you are. Shucks, man. You talking to the Ancient of Days. Don't you think he knows everything about, he says, I know every hair on your head. Not least mine. I can probably count mine, you know. But a lot of you can't count yours. But God says, I know every number of your hair. Man, turn with me to Psalms 139. Let me. I got to work with some people here. Man, oh man, oh man. Woo, hallelujah. Huh? I feel bad for some people who's missing this word. Yeah, because there's some people right now, they decided not to come to church because they were dealing with some things, and they just let the enemy go ahead and parade their mind. So they checked out today. I feel sorry for them because you know what? There's a promise that's going to be made today. They not there to receive it. God Almighty. They weren't there. So what's happening? Where's the package? Where's the package? Where is it? Where is it? God ain't sending another one because it's where it needs to be. You just need to get there. Amen. Shucks, man. Oh, man, oh, man. Psalms 139. Y'all flowing with me? Amen. I'm going to verse 13. Oh, how likely is this? For you formed me, form my inward parts. Jesus, look at this, man. Man, we got too much consolation that God did some forming. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Look at that here. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. See, I want to talk to somebody who don't just feel like they just, you disqualified yourself before God got hold of you. What happened is that somebody in second grade told you something and it stuck with you. You never forgot it. Something mama and daddy said to you, you never forgot it, so it stuck with you. God said, don't say what they said. Say what I'm telling you to say. Break down the system that's been established in your brain. Uproot some stuff that's been established. Because you're going against something that's been going through generations. I don't know, man. I mean, I know that we have certain things that we deal with. We challenge in certain areas. But why are we giving a name that God didn't give us? Like mental health. Why? What do we get? Did God call you that? No. So what happens is we take on this name and the doctors, they give us a prescription and then they make it worse. One side effect affects another. Now they say, well, let me try you on this. Let me try you on that. Let me move this and let me move that. Let me up this dosage, down this dosage. They playing around with your brain. But God says that ain't gonna cover it. They ain't gonna cover it. They ain't gonna, because my word is so strong on the inside of you, it's gonna pull that down, uproot that. You're not gonna be what they told you you are. For I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. And that my soul knoweth very well, my frame was not hidden from you. Watch this now. When I was made in secret. I like this next one here. He says, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. I can stop right there. You are not a mistake. Oh, man. Somebody who's been molested and a child was conceptualized through that way. You are not a mistake. God says, I picked you for a reason. Because what happened to you, the ordeal that took place, and I mean, and I'm not making light of it, but God says, I'm going to use that for my glory. Just tell the story. Don't hide, man. Don't hide what I'm about to do next. My promises is not going to be prolonged too much longer. I mean, you. If God made you a promise, and I'm going to go back to this, man, because he made somebody a promise 10 years ago. And they wondering, when is it coming? It's coming. You just need to stay the course. Anything that happened after the promise is just something that was built up against you. Because God knew it was coming after the promise. He already knew it. So what he did was he gave you the promise first, and then he let the ordeal take place second. Because what he's saying is that whatever has happened after the promise, it won't bury it. Shucks, man. It would not bury my promises on the inside of you, because my word is on the inside of you, and the inward parts on the inside of you is dug deep. It's in there. It's real deep. And the devil wants to get hold of that. So what he did was, instead of him getting a hold of it, he couldn't do it. So he had to throw stuff at you to get you off course. So what you have to do is constantly be a moving target. Don't stay in there waiting. No, just keep moving. Because when you're moving, you're getting closer to the promises. Shucks, man. Oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. You talking about a word today? Man, I'm telling you, man, I'm so thankful to God to give me this kind of word, because the pressures of life is trying to choke that thing on the inside of you. But God made you a promise long before these situations begin to occur. Some people get promises through dreams. Some people get it through a prophetic word. Some people get it so many different ways. And then some people get it through a television show. God says, that's you. Just look at you. That's part of you. What I'm getting ready to do on the inside of you. I already done it though. I just haven't finished fulfilling it yet. You have so much value on the inside. You are stock, man. Let me tell you something. Wall Street ain't got nothing on you. Because what God placed on the inside of you, you ain't got to worry about the Dow going down. Man, it's upgrade season. Upgrade. Upgrade me, God. Whatever you upgrade. God, upgrade. Oh, yeah. Upgrade me. Upgrade me today. God, upgrade me. Upgrade me. Oh, yeah. Stuff that's getting ready to come down my path. I'm just getting closer and closer to the promises of God. If the enemy is coming this way, that means there's something up on the horizon. For you are formed in the inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. He just needed her to be the vessel. The treasure was on the inside of her. She just didn't know it. So she took you in certain places and certain locations and put you in harm's way. But you was protected all along, man. It was nothing that the devil could do. Yeah, you went through this and you went through that. You got every excuse that you can make why you don't think you're qualified, but you are. You talking to a product here. Boy, Pastor been through some stuff. I came out of my mother's womb dealing with some things here. You ain't, I'm not telling you nothing that I haven't gone through. There were some very much uncertainties in my life. Did to the point that I couldn't tell the forest from the trees. But look at me now. Look at me now. It ain't over till God says it's over. It ain't over. It ain't over. You, God would not kill you or let you die until that promise get fulfilled. I believe God still got promises up on the horizon. There's some stuff that just haven't been fulfilled yet. But let me tell you something. The bigger picture was he couldn't give me the bigger picture until he gave me part of the picture. Man, because people are part of that future. And so what God is doing is he's putting people in your place at the right time for such a time as this, because they are going to help catapult you to the next level. Hallelujah. It ain't by happenstance God is subtracting people from your life. Watch this. But it ain't not by happenstance that God is adding others in your life. So watch what's going to happen with the quotation. He's getting ready to multiply, 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 multiply. God is getting ready to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in me. Oh, come on. I mean, he's working. He's working. All things work together for them that love God. Watch this. And who are called. They're called. It's called to the purpose. I got purpose on the inside of me. Jeremiah, you got purpose. Don't say you a youth. Don't say you are drunk either. Don't say you got an impediment in speech neither. Yeah. Who made man's mouth, Moses?
Yeah.
Shucks, man. Oh, man, oh, man, man. I'm talking to a family who got disheartened a little bit, but God says, I'm raising a standard right now against the enemy, for he came in like a flood. Like, I'm watching, like a flood. Like that flood was an indication of what God promises is coming behind the flood. What happened after the flood when Noah built that cruise ship? Life was co-created all over again using eight people. Come on now. Oh man, oh man, Lord have mercy. Oh, God is awesome, man. Let me go ahead and finish again. Let me get this here. Then the word of the Lord came to me before I formed you. I'm back in Jeremiah. In the womb, I knew you. I was intimately acquainted with you. I knew what they was going to name you. I knew what they was going to name you. I knew what gender you were going to be. Shucks, man. There's nothing that don't get by God, man. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. You know what that means? I set you apart. Shucks, man. He set you apart from all the other eggs that was coming down. He said, I'm taking this one egg and I'm going to set it apart. So I sanctified it. I set it out for my good use. Then he goes on, he says, I ordained it. What he means that I already established you before you came out. I already knew what you were going to go through, but I already put in the work on the inside of you so you would have the wherewithal to be able to withstand the things that was going to come against you. Yes, man. But the Lord said to me, do not say. That's one thing we just don't want to do. Do not say the opposite of what God is doing. Oh, watch this. Oh, what God has did. Pretend. What, don't say what God, don't ever get into the point in your mind saying the opposite. God don't speak that kind of language. Because we got adopted into a family or an environment where we begin to talk the language that they're talking. We saying the same things they're saying. We start believing what they believe. We start journeying the way they journey. But if God sets you apart, he's putting you on a different lane. Right now, this is a pivotal time for you. You're going to have to set yourself apart. Even when the temptation arises, oh, I see something shifting right now. I see a light coming upon you right now. See, one thing about a pastor, a seer, they can see things before you see it. Your future won't be like your past. Oh, shucks, man.
Thank you.
I would never be the same. Not after the day. I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. And old things pass away. I am made new. Lord have mercy, man. Man, if I encourage you now, man, something is wrong. I don't know, man. Then maybe you need to go find another pastor, because I'm giving you everything that the Lord has given me to give to you. And if you can't receive this, shame on you.
Yeah.
You deserve to be picked on then.
Yes, sir.
Shucks, man. Move yourself. Shift some stuff around. If you said something, then that word of the Lord shall establish that word you said. Some things ain't up for discussion. If the Lord said it, it ain't up for discussion. It's a period. If you set something, that means he already established your word. Now watch this. May the pieces fall where they may. Oh, that's what's going to happen. It's because now sometimes we don't want things to, we want God to have mercy on people. Because sometimes we'll say certain things and then judgment come on upon them because they ain't receiving it. But what's going to happen is God said, I'm going to allow it for a reason. So they'll know the truth that I put on the inside of you. Your word will not be bound. Your word is already, the word will, your word already went forth. So man, I see it. He said, I already sent the word to you. When you said what you said, you probably felt bad saying it, but I gave you the word. Don't repent what I gave you. Oh, I hear you. You already trying to apologize. Don't go apologizing. You said it, brother. Keep your word. Because the reason why you said it, because God gave it to you. Shucks, man. I'm talking to somebody here. And because the thing is, sometimes you got to be unapologetic, man. And you know, because we sheep and sometimes we care about people's feelings, man. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ain't no time to care about your feelings. Your life is at stake.
Amen.
Shucks, man. Woo. You know what's happening too? And this is the sad part about it. When you start to give the word of the Lord to certain people, what they're going to tell you is what you used to do. Man. They're going to say, how dare you tell me when you used to do that?
Yes, sir.
You was this and you were that. They'll come up with all the names in the books, but that don't justify what the word of the Lord's giving me today, sweetheart. I said what I said. I'm unapologetic. I'm giving you an unadulterated word today. May the word of the Lord that you said that he put in your mouth, may it be established. Shucks, man. Man, no. I'm relentless. I refuse to turn my back on that word. I said it. That's where it's gonna be. You don't like it, shame on you. Because you're going to suffer the consequences more than you're ready for. But what's going to happen with those consequences? God says, I'm going to use that to draw them to me. Don't worry about it now. You did what you were supposed to do. You said what you were supposed to say. Let me take it from there. Shucks, man. When the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, you think Jeremiah wanted to go to them adults? No. I don't want to go there. I know how to expect my adults. Don't worry about the adults because something's about to happen, Jeremiah. And I already put something in you. You can't refer now. You can't go back now. You can't go. You got to move forward. You got to move forward, Jeremiah. I gave you the word. And I need you to go for it. For you shall go. Let me read verse 7, verse 8. Verse 8. For you shall go to all whom I send you and wherever I command you. You heard that word command. Command. Now, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. A command. Whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces. Because sometimes what we do when you don't know how they're gonna respond to you. Now they're not gonna be my friend no more. Man, I ain't worried about you being my friend, man. This gospel must be preached. Shucks. I ain't worried about you being my friend. Your soul is at stake, man. I ain't got time to worry about whether you're gonna be my friend or not. If you ain't gonna be my friend based on what's in, man, then you don't know who I am. Do not be afraid of their faces. For I'm with you. I'm going to deliver you, says the Lord. Oh, verse 9. I'm going to read this. Here. The Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I put my words in your mouth. And see, I've set this day, set you over nations and kingdoms, root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, build, plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. You know what that means? Because see, what happens with almond trees is that every other tree goes stalemate. Almond tree grows. So God was solidifying his ministry through something that was going to keep evolving. God don't believe in sticking with people who don't know how to be winners. He can't stick with losers. Loser. I remember, loser. He don't stick with losers. He stick with winners. Even when the season is not pro, it's not time to procreate, that's when he's getting ready to do. He's going to use the thing that says, look, why God used the almond tree? Because every other tree was stalemate. I'm going to use something that's going to take a standard and oversee everything. So when he says, I'm calling you to over nations, he ain't calling you to one tribe of Judah. I'm calling you to nations. I'm even dealing with Babylon. Babylon was a system that you bet not, dare not even face. Don't be afraid of their faces. And the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, "What do you see?" And he said, "I see a boiling pot, and it's facing away from the north." Then the Lord said to me, "Out of the north, calamity shall break forth," which means is that when you see something that's happening, God will show it to you first, and he'll tell you what you see. Said, "Go tell him what I showed you, because something's about to happen. Prepare them for what's about to come. If they don't receive you, they're getting ready to be destroyed." And this is the sad part about it, is not destroyed for death, but destroyed to enough that they got to come to me, come to me. God put people in positions. Why do you think he'll let certain things happen? Because he wants people to come to him, not run away from him. Hallelujah. And so he'll let certain things happen, even sometimes to our children, sometimes to parents that we try to tell certain things, sometimes to certain neighbors we try to tell certain things, sometimes even in relationships, husband and wives, when you try to tell, sometimes calamity comes. What happens is when the person that's holding you accountable, they're telling you what's about to take place. It's just up to you whether you want to receive it. Oh, shucks, man. Ah, my God. Hallelujah. Ah, man, I tell you, that's why we ain't where we need to be, because we don't want to receive. We too grown. Don't tell me what to do. I'm 21. Are you? So then why you ain't paying your own bills? Oh, wait a minute. Is your name on a house? What's this? Do you have your own credit? Well, if you that grown, then you don't need to ask me for no money. Because you grown. You know what I mean? I mean, because that's it. You know, they grown until they want to be grown. You only grown when it's convenient for you to say it. All right, man. Let me go ahead and close, man. Father God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. We appreciate this word, God. When your word go forth out of your mouth, it shall not return void, but it shall accomplish that which you, if God sent it, so shall it be. He just needs somebody to be the recipient of that word. You're the package. The word is on the inside of you. Wherever he sends you to go, go. Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm talking to you. Yeah, if I'm talking to some non-believers too. Yeah, there's some non-believers on in the service today. They still up and down. They stuck between two opinions. The opinion, there's no opinion when it comes to God. God's word is factual. Time to root up, pull down, tear down. Don't try to plant. You want to plant. I want to plant. No, you can't plant until you tear down. Tear that stuff down. Bring that system down. God says, I'm going to give you all the resources you need to tear this thing down. I got you. Don't worry about it. I got you. Father, I thank you for this word, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I pray for every soul today. Every soul, loved one today. I pray, Lord, that your will be done in their lives. Your will be done in their lives. Your will be done in their lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, I didn't get a chance to tell y'all the last few weeks if y'all ever went to services, because you're not going to probably get them on the website currently. So I will be able to send you the pre-recorded services, so it won't be like you can miss it. If you want to hear that service again, we can actually send it to you via email. Just type your name and the email address in this chat box if you're requesting this particular message or any messages that you can recall. Type your email and we can have that message sent to you. Amen?
Amen.
And I've been meaning to say this to you from weeks and now, but we can get messages now. We can be able to meditate, because sometimes we need to hear stuff again, right? That's what meditation does, day and night. They ain't all day and night. It says day and night. What that means, I mean, when I get up in the morning, that's day. Right before I go to sleep, I'm meditating again. So in other words, I'm covered as much as possible. Praise God. Well, it's begging time. Yeah, it's begging time. Pastor is going to beg today. Beg, yeah. What am I going to do? I don't beg. Like, you know what the word Bible says, we don't beg, but we ask. And whatever the Lord placed on your heart, may the Lord give it to you so you can provide this kingdom. Help push the kingdom, because we're going after some stuff, man. Souls need to be saved. The gospel need to be preached. I hope you're getting yourselves ready because we're gonna have a meeting soon. Because we're gonna have this conference in Atlanta, Georgia. Man, we are definitely gonna have this conference in Atlanta, Georgia next year. We don't have dates now, but we're already making the city known. Atlanta, Georgia is the place. So I hope you get your stuff ready. Prepare to get ready. I hope for those of you who are out of town that can come to this conference. And we're gonna do what we need to do. Hopefully, man. You know what I'm praying for? Here's what I'm praying for, that we be in the building by then. How about that? How about that? Yeah. Why not? Come on now. Why not? Why we can't have a food truck in our building? Why we can't have the food truck parked at the building? Why we can't have our conference in our own building? Why not? Well, we have our own baptism on the inside. So next time we can baptize in our own house. Why not? We got to push the kingdom forward, man. And it's going to take your giving. That's what it is. Your prayers, but you got to give. You got to give. You got to give, man. There's a remnant that's holding up this ministry. It really is. It's a small remnant. But I'm telling you, if we all join forces and give consistently, I don't care if it's $5, $10, $15, $20. It's consistent payment coming into the ministry to help push the kingdom. Well, I'm trying to wait till I get this bulk milk of money so I can impress the pastor. Don't try to impress me. Give according to the way the Lord has given you and he's providing you. But what you're doing is that he's providing you seed and you using and you spending it all up. That's why you can't get a harvest, because you're spending your seed. I'm trying to tell you how to get blessed. I'm trying to tell you how you can open some doors and multiply your seed sown. You spinning, but you ain't sowing. And you ain't sowing because you don't trust God that he can bring that package to your house. Shucks, man. I'm getting in my bag. Man, because that's the thing. God says, I want to do. Do you know there's some packages being held up because he's waiting on your obedience? Oh, man. I don't know. How can I say it this way? There's almost like, okay, it's like God got something he wants to release. He ain't released it yet. Because you ain't there to be a recipient, meaning spiritually. God says, I'm holding up my hand because you're holding up yours. You need to release what God's placed in your hand to give. This is the excuse that Jeremiah gave. I'm a youth. Some of you saying, I don't have enough. Others are saying, I'm broke. But how is it that you using what you have to do other things? Amen. Come on, let's just keep it real here. But you asking God and you want God to do X, Y. If you want God to breathe on your finances, or if you want to breathe on your business, or you want him to breathe on your future, how are you going? You're not giving him any room. You tying your own hands, brother. So give. Name your seed. We got some things we got to do. Help push the kingdom forward. Let me go to 6:33, and I'm going to close this right here because I got to tell somebody this. Now watch this. Let me go to Matthew 6:33. I got to talk about some money here right quick. I don't know. I told you I'm not begging, but I'm going to put this seed on you, whether you want to receive this or not. I'm trying to help somebody, man. Shucks. Because, man, because you know, a lot of times pastors are afraid to ask because they got this bad rep that they using this for their own gain. No, I'm trying to push the kingdom forward. We got stuff we want to do. You've been getting this word, and I know you're getting blessed. God is feeding you. But what you feeding back?
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and I'm going to close after this. And then listen, before I do that, we got three ways to give. We have DCM 514, which is our Cash App, the ministry's Cash App, not Pastor Rory Roberts' Cash App. We have divinecontactministries.net. If somebody can chat that and type that in, you can give through that way. And then we have Venmo, DCM 514. So we got three ways to give. Let me read this verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. See, the things that you're praying about, the things you believe in God for, there's a prerequisite. There's some things you got to do. Seek ye first the kingdom. What is the kingdom? What we doing? We in order for see the kingdom can't take care of certain things when there's no money. We can preach a good word and people get happy, but it takes money. Which this service, this platform is money. This platform ain't free. When we have Sundays, when we have Wednesdays, when we have our men's fellowship that we do every first Thursday, second Thursday of each month, which we will be doing with the women shortly, it takes money, it takes time, it takes effort. It's not like we just jumping together and we putting things together. Conference, it takes money. We need your finances, y'all. For some of y'all who just barely give, now I want to say barely, who ain't giving, just ain't giving at all. I'm just not gonna give, but I'm gonna get this word though. I'm gonna get this word, but I ain't giving. I mean, because I don't know what you're doing with the money. Man, look, shucks, man. Let me go ahead. I'm gonna be here myself. Father God, I thank you right now in Jesus' name. May you bless your people. May them have a peaceful and a fruitful week, and pray that they'll be obedient to this word. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm gonna sit back, as I always do, to make myself available, which again, that takes time, but I'm available for you. I love you, but I got to tell you the truth. You got to start giving. You got to start giving. Amen. You got to start sowing. You got to sow. You got to give. You got to give. I give you three ways. There's no excuses. You don't have, you got some account. Shucks, man. Hallelujah.